Good morning, everybody. Let's turn to John chapter 3. John chapter 3, begin in verse 22. He says, "After these things came Jesus and his disciples into the land of Judea, and there he tarried with them and baptized. And John also was baptizing in Enon near to Salem, because there was much water there. And they came and were baptized, for John was not yet cast into prison." Now the Lord Jesus and his disciples were somewhere near John, and they were baptizing, and Christ himself never baptized. His disciples did, but because they did this by faith in his name and in his spirit, Christ did it. Look over at John 4. It says, verse 1, "When therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself baptized not, but his disciples." Now that's an important principle to understand what John is going to say here in the rest of this passage, because whatever Christ's servants do by his spirit, whatever they do in faith, in his name, it's by Christ, and Christ is doing it. You know, when he sent the 70 out and he told them, "He that receiveth you receiveth me. If they hear you, they're hearing me. And if they reject you, they're rejecting me." So Christ didn't baptize, but when his disciples baptized, it was all the same as Christ baptizing those that profess Christ. And that's an important principle here. We see verse 25. Here was the problem. "Then there arose a question between some of John's disciples and the Jews about purifying." Now John's disciples here are true believers, born of the Spirit of God, and the Jews here are natural religious men, disciples of the Pharisees. And they were, these Jews were for the old covenant ceremonial washings. But you remember how that by the tradition of the elders, they thought they were actually purifying themselves by the washing. They didn't see Christ in these washings. They thought they were purifying themselves, keeping themselves from being defiled. And the Lord told them, he said, "It's not that which comes out or what goes into a man that's defiling him. It's what comes from the sin nature, what's coming out of the heart that defiles." But they didn't see this, so they have this dispute about it, and they're probably rejecting baptism because they weren't familiar with baptism. But we see what they were trying to do. They were putting John against Christ and trying to put Christ against John. And it says, verse 26, "And they came unto John and said to him, Rabbi, he that was with thee beyond Jordan, to whom thou bearest witness, behold, the same baptizeth, and all come to him." You see what they're doing here? That, you know, I said the words world and all rarely mean all without exception, except they're speaking about those Christ saves. Then it means all without exception, because all he shall save. But here's an example. They exaggerate. All are coming to Christ. Now listen to how John answered them. Verse 27, "John answered and said, A man can receive nothing, he can take to himself nothing, except it be given from heaven." Now that's the answer to disputes. That's the answer to questions. He turns them immediately from everything below and turns them to Christ. He turns them to God above. That's the answer right there. He's turning them away. There's no point disputing with a sinner over spiritual things. There's no point arguing with them over spiritual things. John didn't do that. He just immediately declared the truth. A man can't have any spiritual understanding unless it be given him from God. Man can know nothing except it be given him from God. So there's no point disputing with a sinner. He turns them immediately straight to God and says, a man can receive nothing except it be given from above. God has to draw sinners, and God has to give sinners a heart to believe, and He has to make Christ everything to us. We can't receive anything except he give it to us. And so that's the answer to this dispute. And John is saying to them, every spiritual blessing he had, every temporal blessing he had, everybody that came to hear him preach, everybody that believed the things he preached, everybody that he baptized, that confessed Christ, he's saying nothing, a man can take nothing to himself except it's given him from God. God did all this. God did all this. He's telling them, I'm not envious of my Lord's ministry. I rejoice in it. I wouldn't have anybody coming to hear me preach, anybody believing what I preach, except it be given from God. And so when Christ's disciples baptized, it was Christ baptizing them. When John preached, it was Christ preaching. When men believed, it was Christ giving the Spirit to believe. All of this was of the Lord. That's what John is saying. He said, verse 28, he just keeps pointing them away from himself and away from them and to Christ. Look, verse 28, ye yourselves bear me witness that I said I'm not the Christ, but that I'm sent before him. That was the answer to their question. He turned them straight to Christ, away from self and away from everything else. John declares he had received nothing, including his commission to preach Christ, except it was given from Christ. Christ sent him. Christ sent him. And he gives an illustration here to show the purpose of the church, the purpose of his ministers, and this is what our purpose is right here. He gives an illustration of it. He said in verse 29, he that hath the bride is the bridegroom. The friend of the bridegroom, which standeth and heareth him, rejoiceth greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. This my joy, therefore, is fulfilled. He uses the illustration of a best man in a wedding. And he's saying that's what he was like. He was like the best man in a wedding. And in those days, the responsibility of the best man was to go get the bride and bring the bride to the bridegroom. And when the bridegroom saw the bride and rejoiced over her, the best man rejoiced because the bridegroom rejoiced in his bride. And so John says, and this my joy therefore is fulfilled. He said, this is what I'm here to do. I'm here to preach Christ, to glorify him. And through the Spirit that he sends, he's going to bring his people, his bride, to him. And I'm rejoicing that they're being brought to him. He wasn't envious of anybody going to Christ. He's saying that's the mission. That's the mission. That's mission accomplished. John would have been happy if every one of his disciples had left him and went to the Lord Jesus. That's his whole point in preaching, was to exalt Christ and see Christ, God's elect, brought to Christ. But also when he gave that illustration, he's declaring the Lord Jesus is the Son of God, because all through the Old Testament, when you read about Jehovah being the husband, that's who the husband is Jehovah, the Lord God. And so by him speaking of Christ here as the bridegroom, he's declaring Christ is the Son of God. He's the Christ. He is Jehovah God in human flesh is who he is. That's who he is. He came down from heaven, and he's the one who's calling his bride to himself. So when you see a local church that the Lord's increasing, that's not a reason to be envious, because as Christ adds to a local church, he's adding to us. He's adding to the whole church, and that's a reason to rejoice if sinners are being brought to Christ. That's the whole goal. Now look at verse 30 again. Look what he does here. And this is an important principle. He says, he must increase, but I must decrease. Now, there's four musts here in John 3. Really three, I would say. Because back up in verse 7, we have the spiritually dead sinners must. He said, you must be born again. We must be born from above, or we can't know God. Verse 14, he says, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. We could not earn a righteousness and could not work out a righteousness. Christ had to go to the cross and die in the place of his people to justify us, make us righteous before God, so God could receive us. But look at this next must here that John says, he must increase, I must decrease. This is what's going to happen in the believer's heart. Christ must increase, I must decrease. The Lord Jesus becomes increasingly more all in all as he grows us in grace and knowledge of him. That's the whole point of everything that's in the gospel and all the precepts of the God. Everything is to turn us from us to Christ, because Christ has to become everything. And he will increasingly more become everything. And as he becomes all, in direct proportion as he increases in the hearts of his people, we're going to decrease in the estimation of ourselves. That's true growth in grace. That's true growth in the knowledge of Christ. And as he does this, he becomes the one constraint. He becomes the one constraint for everything we do. He becomes the reason we do what we do. We want him to have the glory and not us. And he'll use everything. He'll show you your sins, and he'll show you he alone is your righteousness. And as he's doing this, every time he's making himself to increase more and more and making us to decrease in our estimation of ourselves. And that's true growth in grace. And we have to, he has to increase and we decrease in our dealings with one another. And more we see Christ is the head of the church, and more we see he is the master, that he alone is able to make us stand, the more and more he will increase, and we will point one another to Christ away from everybody else, just like John's doing right here. Because we see he's the only one that can do it. He's going to do it through this word. And that's not seeing ourselves as being able to do anything. When we point one another to Christ and wait on Christ, that's saying, I can't do it. Christ is the only one that can. That's seeing him as increasing and you as decreasing. And he shows that's true humility. That's what the Spirit of God produces. Now listen to this next word of John, and we see just how much Christ had increased in his heart and he had decreased. He said, verse 31, he that cometh from above is above all. He that's of the earth is earthly and speaketh of the earth. He that cometh from heaven is above all. And what he hath seen and heard, that he testifieth. Look at verse 34. For he whom God has sent speaketh the words of God. For God gives not the Spirit by measure unto him. He's talking about the Lord Jesus here. And this was his gospel. The Lord Jesus came down from heaven. He is above all. He is God in human flesh. That's who he is. He came down and he declared the truth by the Spirit of God. God gave the Spirit to our Lord Jesus without measure as a man. Now, as God, he's one with the Spirit of God. But as a man representing his people, the Lord did everything for him he does for his people. He poured out the Spirit upon him without measure. And if we're going to be born of the Spirit, it's going to come from Christ. He's going to give the Spirit. We're dust. We speak of the earth. We're earthly. We're dust. John spoke by the Spirit of God. He preached by the Spirit of God. But he's saying, but I'm just earthy. I'm just dust. Though we speak by the Spirit of God and believe by the Spirit of God, we see so little. We're just dust. But the Lord Jesus Christ came from God. He came from heaven. He saw firsthand, and whatever he speaks in this book is what he saw. He's testifying the one way to God. And when you hear him preach, what he's declaring is, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. That's what the Lord Jesus is declaring. That's what he's manifesting. And he got this is directly from the Father. If you want to know anything about how God saved, look to Christ. He's the revelation of God. He's the whole counsel of God. Everything God has to say to sinners, everything God has for his chosen sinners is in Christ. And Christ is everything. He's the righteousness and the holiness and the producer of the fruit in his people and the preserver of his people and the one who ministers the gospel to his people, the one who grows us and makes himself to increase in our estimation and ourselves to decrease in our estimation. Everything's from him. You know, if you want information about a town, it's good to speak to somebody who's been to that town and knows it firsthand. That's what John said. He came from heaven. What he's declaring to us in the Word of God is exactly as it is. There's no question about it. Men want to question the Scriptures, and how do you know that's true? We know it's true because God came down and told us. He spoke it. He saw. He knows. He came to reveal the wisdom of God and the truth of God, and he is that truth. And we see him. We know him. We believe him. Because he is the truth. Here's the amazing thing. Look back up there at verse 32. He says at the end there, and no man receives his testimony. Now in comparison to the whole population, in any generation there's only been a remnant that was given grace to receive our Lord's testimony. Only a remnant. Today, there's a remnant that really believes the gospel. But here's the truth of it. But in ourselves, no man receives his testimony. Without the Spirit of God, no man receives his testimony. We must be born of God. We must be taught. There's none righteous. There's none that understandeth. There's none that seeketh after God. And you and I that's been born of him, we won't receive his testimony even as believers unless the Spirit of God speaks effectually in our heart, and Christ makes it come in power. And that's the only way we ever receive his testimony, is by this one, by the Lord Jesus. Now, this is something that's even more amazing, is that though we can't receive it of ourselves, by his grace we do. He says there in verse 33, he that hath received his testimony hath set to his seal that God is true. Who's going to receive? Do you see what John's doing? This is. I know we can, maybe we'll go back and look at each individual verse here because there's so much in each of this, but I just want to look at the whole answer John gave to this disputing that was going on between these believers and these unbelievers. He didn't waste time even. He didn't speak one word about the baptism. He didn't speak one word about what their question was. What did he do? He turned them to Christ and declared the truth of the gospel to them. If they see Christ and know Christ, they'll have their question answered. That's how the question's going to be settled. See that he's the only one that can wash you. He's the only one that can purify the defiled. We've got to be robed in his righteousness and born of his Spirit. But he says here, when you're born of God, who's born of God? Who's going to be born of God? Scripture says, as many as he ordained to eternal life believe. That's who's going to believe. Those God chose and gave to Christ, who Christ redeemed, he's going to send the Spirit to them, and they're going to believe him. And when they do, when you do believe Christ, it's because we have the witness within us. He's entered in. He's the witness. The Spirit's the witness. He's entered in. And you have the witness within you. So that you see by faith and you know by faith and you testify. And when you believe, you're setting to your seal. You're certifying to everybody around you that this word is true. Christ is true. What he's spoken to us is true. And we're certifying this is true. I know this. I've seen this. It's true. And look, listen to John, 1 John 5:10. The apostle said, he that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He has the witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. That's what John the Baptist said. When you believe God, you're going to know his word's true. You're going to know he is salvation. And by the Spirit of God, we know God is true. And we speak that. The Lord said back up there in John 3 to Nicodemus, we speak that we've seen. We speak that we know. We testify what we've seen and what we've heard, what we know, because the Spirit is within it. We had the witness. So John's telling them here, he's telling them, Christ, a man can't receive anything except to be forgiven to him from above. And he says, and the one who came down to give all things to his people is the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. That's who this is that you're trying to pit me against, John said. I'm not envious of him. He's the bridegroom. He's the one that came to save his elect bride. I want you to hear him. I want you to go to him. I want you to be washed in his blood and washed in his spirit and washed in the water baptism confessing him. And if you do, John said, it's because you got the witness in you. You've been born of God. He's given you a heart to believe him. That's how a man is washed. It's not by washing your hands. It's not by doing moral deeds and outward form of religion. It's by the Spirit in the heart. It's by Christ washing us in his blood. Now here's the sum of the matter. Verse 35, the Father loveth the Son and hath given all things into his hand. Everything is in his hand. From the beginning, God chose his Son. He gave everything into his hand. Christ created the world. When God said, let us make man in our image, he made man in his image. In the image Christ would come forth in. We think Christ came forth in the image of man. Man was made in the image he was going to come forth in. And he did that. He's the voice walking in the garden. He's the one who slew the lamb, picturing himself, and robed our parents in the garden. All through the scriptures, the Lord Jesus is the mediator between God and men. And he's the one who's, everything's in his hand. And then he came and redeemed his people from the curse of the law by laying down his life for us. And he gets the preeminent glory for that. And he went back to glory, and now he's sending the gospel. He's calling out his people, and he will not lose any. He's going to keep us and carry us through to glorify his people with him in the end. All things are in his hand. And here's the matter. Here it is, verse 36. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. Not washing. Not your form and ceremony. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. Man believes unto righteousness. And he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. I pray God to make that so real in the hearts of somebody here who does not believe him. You don't believe on Christ. There's one payment for sin. That's Christ. That's the one payment God will receive. And it's been made. And without Christ, we're going to meet God and owe him a debt that we can't pay. And it's going to result in wrath for eternity. That wrath's on us, except we're in Christ. Just like Noah went in the ark, and his family went in that ark, and God shut them up in that ark. And when the rain fell, it didn't fall on them because they were in the ark. And if you're in Christ, judgment's been settled. But if you're outside of Christ, that wrath abides on you. And you're going to meet God, and that's a serious, serious thing. You reject Christ, there remains no more sacrifice for sin. Just fearful looking to of judgment. Imagine whenever the rain started falling and those outside of the ark, how fearful they became. The higher that water rose, how fearful they became. Well, the man that rejects Christ, he's the only salvation. And you reject Christ, there's no more salvation. But he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. It's Christ only. It's trust in Christ only. It's not faith plus anything else. Not Christ plus anything else. Christ only. Christ only. He must increase, we must decrease. We must decrease to the point that we don't see anything we do contributing anything to this thing of salvation. It's all Christ. When you brought there, neither your good that you do nor your sin that you do is going to move you from Him, because He's the only one that saves. It's Christ alone. I pray God to give us, one, I pray God to give us grace to believe Christ. I pray He increase and we decrease and just rest in Christ. But two, I pray God give us, as He does that, this will be the case. Any dispute, any question, don't argue with religious folks. It does no good. It does absolutely no good. Do what John did right here. Turn them to Christ. Point them to Christ. And let's do that for each other. This is the answer to every problem, every dispute, every question, every trial, everything. And turn one another to Christ. Everything else is an exercise in futility. Really. If John would have met them on the ground of this dispute over washing, they'd have left there, maybe one of them saying, well, I believe him, and the other one saying, I don't believe him. But preach Christ to them, because if He sends the Spirit, Christ is going to increase and man's going to decrease. Christ is going to become all. He'll have the witness in Himself, and He'll believe the Son, and He'll have everlasting life. And that's what matters. That's what matters. Everything else is our flesh trying to glory, is what it is. We can't, we got no room to glory in. A man can't receive anything except to be given him from above. I pray God to bless that. Let's stand together. Father, we thank You for Your word. We thank You for Your free grace. Thank You for Your salvation accomplished by Your Son. And Lord, we pray today that our gracious head would speak and teach us these things and bring us to rejoice in Him and Him alone. Thank You, Lord, for our brethren and the ones that traveled and You brought them back safely. And Lord, thank You for Your mercy to those that have been sick, and pray You continue to keep us and bless us and deliver us through the trials and keep us looking straight to Christ alone. Forgive us, Lord, our sins, and we ask it in Christ's name. Amen.